Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. Today, reading from, I'm Bob, by the way, reading from the Free Grace Broadcaster. It's the winter of 2018 edition, something that could be on your desktop or tabletop if you would just ask for it. It's at chapel@mountzion.org. They didn't ask me to sell these things because they're not for sale anyway. It's free. Just write them an email and tell them you'd like to receive the Free Grace Broadcaster every 3 months, and they'll send it to you. And inside will be a theme. This time the theme was adoption, and we're on the very final article inside the broadcaster. It's called Sacred Evidence of Sonship. It's by Thomas Reed. I think that I'm saying that right. Thomas Reed was an English layman and author, born in Manchester, England. 1776 to 1841 was when he lived. How rich, how varied are the blessings of redemption. Like the gracious giver, they are infinite and eternal, reaching from everlasting to everlasting. Fully to know the gifts of grace, we must know the fullness of him from whom they flow. Surely gratitude ought to swell our hearts when we contemplate the author of our mercies, and the abject worms on whom those mercies have been bestowed. Happy is that heart that can appreciate the love of Jesus, and to which the Savior is increasingly precious. Thus to feel is heaven begun, and it forms one of the brightest evidences of adoption into the family of God. According to the natural order of things, we are first made the children of God, and then we receive the spirit of children. This is in perfect accordance with Scripture. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. For God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hence, he that believes on the Son of God has that witness in himself, the indwelling Spirit testifying to his spirit or conscience that he is a child of God. For thus says John, hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And therefore, filial affections towards God as our covenant Father, produced in the soul by the Holy Spirit, constitute the spirit of adoption and prove us to be his redeemed children. This delightful feeling of sonship, with all of its attendant blessedness, creates a peace and joy such as a loving child experiences in the society and under the smiles of an affectionate parent. But we must never forget that this state of heart is not the mere effect of contemplating the change that may have passed upon us. When we look into ourselves, we find continual need for the deepest humiliation, even when we can praise God for his distinguishing mercy towards us. Our peace and joy are the fruits of faith in the blood of Jesus, wrought in us through the mighty power of God. We can have peace and joy only through believing. But as we become the children of God by faith, so true peace in the conscience and joy in the heart can be maintained and increased only through an abiding reliance on the blood and righteousness of Jesus. From this foundation arises a sacred edifice of heavenly graces. Know you not, says the apostle, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, and so glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All the delightful experiences of true believers are inseparably connected with the witness of the Spirit. For though for perspicuity's sake we may endeavor to speak of them as so many steps ascending to the highest privileges of the gospel, yet they are so blended together that to separate them would be like separating the superstructure of a building from its foundation, or disjointing the members of a beautifully formed body. Every grace of the Spirit has its counterfeit in the hypocrite. Oh, what need we have to pray for wisdom to try the spirits. All joy is not the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment, and says in Job 25. All peace is not the peace of God. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them. The enemy of souls can sow his tares, which at a distance may appear like true wheat, while on closer inspection they're found to be destitute of the precious grain. The renewed mind, on the contrary, unfolds its native excellencies the more minutely it is viewed. Just as the insect and the flower spread before us their exquisite forms and beauties in proportion to the power of the lens. Thus, the more we become acquainted with a real child of God, the more of the divine image we shall discover. Humility, love, and purity will equally spread before us their beauties and prove that the workmanship is of God. What remains of fallen nature will indeed be uncouth and forbidding, but what is of God will be attractive and delightful. Oh, that my heart may be molded into this lovely image. There is in the blessed Jesus everything to kindle our love to the highest flame. Lord, inflame my whole heart with constant, fervent love to Thee. Some professors of religion consider every affection short of ecstasy as worth nothing. Hence many, it is to be feared, substitute mere animal excitement for joy in the Holy Spirit, and thus deceive themselves. A person may bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, have much of the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and yet not be able from some mental cause to exercise that filial confidence towards God, in which the spirit of adoption in a great measure consists, although none can possess the Spirit without bringing forth the fruits of righteousness. Others, from some peculiar temperament of body, may be prevented from feeling high transports of joy, while at the same time they can taste the sweets of inward serenity and composedness of mind. Others, again, from a deep view of their own corruption, cannot or dare not recognize in themselves a holy conformity to God, though they hate sin and truly love the Savior. Now, shall we say that such characters have not the Spirit's witness because they cannot feel this ecstasy of delight? Must the work of the Spirit be overlooked in the absence of rapturous feeling? Shall we make those sad whom the Lord has not made sad? Oh, how needful it is for the enjoyment of true comfort to place our experience on the right foundation. Now, if joy, which is the Christian's delightful privilege, be the effect of the Spirit's witness rather than the witness itself, then the humble follower of Jesus, who has the testimony of his conscience that he has believed in God for his portion, and cleaves wholly to his Savior for righteousness and strength, ought not to despond because he cannot rise to those heights of joy that some favored believers are permitted to attain. He may, however, and he ought, to take courage from this inward witness of the Spirit to his conscience, to aspire after so happy a state of mind that conduces so much to the glory of God and the spiritual growth of his own soul. For the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. May we not then conclude that when joy overflows the heart through a lively sense of redeeming grace, it forms a sunshine in the soul, and that when this joy is accompanied with love and confidence and reverence and trust in God, we have the spirit of adoption in its most genuine exercise. We also perceive that joyful emotions arising from some powerful impression or animal excitement may be short-lived, as is evidenced from the stony ground hearer who immediately received the word with joy, but in time of temptation he fell away. It is to guard against such a delusion as this that we should endeavor to form a solid and scriptural basis on which to repose our hopes and consolations. Joy may be unhallowed, but submissive obedience to the will of God cannot be. How important and yet how determinate is the declaration of Paul, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Am I led by the Spirit of God? Oh, how much of happiness is contained in the right answer to this question. The Spirit leads the sinner to the foot of the cross. Have I ever reached that place of mercy? The Spirit leads the sinner from the love of sin to the love of holiness. Do I abhor whatever is contrary to the mind of my Redeemer and seek my happiness in the performance of His will? The Spirit leads the soul from the vanities of the world to the enjoyment of momentous gospel blessings. Have I been graciously withdrawn in heart and affection from an evil world and led into the purifying delights of fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ? How blessed is the spirit of adoption, the childlike spirit that enables us to come to our Heavenly Father, neither doubting His power nor distrusting His grace. When we consider our weakness and His strength, our needs and His fullness, we may well feel happy while possessing in all of its vigor this spirit of adoption. Sickness may invade our frame. Poverty may diminish our substance. Friends may prove unfaithful. Yes, even Satan may harass our minds, and sin dwelling within us may lust and rebel. And yet with God, the great God, as our reconciled Father in Christ Jesus, we shall rise superior to every grief and loss, and feel and maintain a peace that the world can neither give nor take away. While in this happy frame of mind, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But if we are children, then we are heirs. Oh, amazing thought, surpassing human intellect to conceive, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, heirs of that being whom Abraham styles the possessor of heaven and earth, joint heirs with that Savior who declared, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Surely then, with delightful propriety, might the apostle say, "All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Are the children of God, while thus exalted in privileges, exempt from affliction? Oh, no. While here below, they must tread the path of suffering, the path by which the blessed Jesus went to glory. For it is added, "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." O thou adorable Savior, may I never shrink from bearing thy cross when called to endure it. If I suffer with thee, I shall also reign with thee. But who is sufficient for these things? Of myself I am perfect weakness, but in thee there is fullness of strength, and through faith in thee I shall assuredly overcome. Oh, that I may daily possess this sacred evidence of my adoption into thy family, an evidence that will stand the test of trial and temptation, that will keep me humble in prosperity, patient in affliction, peaceful in death, joyful through eternity. Impart this blessing for thine own mercy's sake, my only helper and deliverer. Amen. That's from the Christian Retirement or Spiritual Exercises of the Heart. It's in the public domain by Thomas Reed, R-E-A-D-E. And for those of you who want it, here's a bonus, okay, as we close out this book. This series this time. We'll be getting another one in the spring, and during that time we'll have another topic. That won't be coming for a little while, as you can see outside. But Mr. Spurgeon says you ought to feel a sweet joy in the perpetual relationship that is now established between you and God, for Jesus is still your brother. You have been adopted, and God has never canceled adoption yet. There is such a thing as regeneration, but there is not such a thing as the life then received dying out. If you are born unto God, you are born unto God. The stars may turn to coals, and the sun and moon may become clots of blood. But he that is born of God has a life within him that can never end. He is God's child, and God's child he shall be. Therefore, let him walk at large like a child, an heir, a prince of the blood royal, who bears a relationship to the Lord that neither time nor eternity can ever destroy. This is why Jesus was made of a woman and made under the law, that he might give us to enjoy the fullness of the privilege of adopted sons. That's from Charles Spurgeon. With that, we end this time around and say to you, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.